Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Why don't we stand up and just hold up our Bible, as I always do when whenever I am up here reading the Word of God. I want to declare the Word of God aloud. So hold up your Bible, whether it's a smartphone Bible, iPad Bible, steal a Bible. If you're a hard copy of it, that's great. All right, and you declare after me. You still remember what I always said? This is my Bible. Okay, let me try that again. All right, okay, ready? One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me God. Amen. We're going to read together Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Let's declare the Word of God aloud together. Ready? One, two, go. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, and after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. And after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Please be seated. This is the seventh day that I'm the senior pastor of the church. And many of you have come up, shook my hands and say, call me senior pastor. All right. And it would take me a while to get used to that term, but really, just call me Pastor Chris. You do. I love you just calling me that. So, but really, I'm very thankful for all the expression of concern, of appreciation, you know, and concern for the church. All right, to say that, you know, I'm really excited to see, you know, the church, how the church will be moving on in the next many years. And also, thank you for your prayers. And so, in that sense, you know, I'm excited about what God has in store for us. And many of you are very impressed with my Mandarin, okay? And because I do grow up in a Mandarin environment where my family spoke in Mandarin. That's why I needed to speak to my parents in Mandarin to them. It was really a great day for me to have my parents there and for them to witness this fellow, you know, who became a Christian so many years ago. And today, all right, God has really used him. And so this morning, by the way, this weekend is actually Pentecost weekend, in case you're not aware. The liturgical color of Pentecost is actually red. And so all our ushers are wearing red. You're actually in the right color, right? Red, the Holy Spirit color, right? And so in that sense, it is once a year we sort of, it's very strangely, to be reminded that the Holy Spirit is a powerhouse behind the church. Because that was the day, you know, the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit came down, and it was a birth of the Christian church, a very powerful demonstration of the power of God. And Pentecost in the Old Testament is celebrated actually as a harvest feast. But later on, the Pentecost itself was celebrated as commemorating the giving of the law in stone tablets. Okay, God gave the law. And very interestingly, what's that signify is that although God gave the law in the stone tablets, he wrote it in the stone tablets, yet today the Lord says that I will write my laws into your heart. So from writing into You know, stones, God says, now with the Holy Spirit, I will write my laws, my statutes, my words into your hearts. And so that's what Pentecost does. The Holy Spirit came down and began a new work in the life of the church. Therefore, I believe that something is important for us to listen to today. Interestingly, my first sermon as a senior pastor happens on Pentecost Sunday. And I believe that that is very significant for me. Because I told the Lord that it is not by chance, right, in that sense, okay, that I am put to preach my first sermon on Pentecost. Because one of my desires is that I want this congregation here in UMC to be a Spirit-filled congregation. Because without the Holy Spirit, the 10 years ahead of us will be quite laborious, I call it. Because if we try with our human effort, human understanding of what God wants us to do, meaning going at it what I call carnally, we will not get anywhere. And the Lord reminded me, as you start this sermon as a senior pastor of this church, as you run the next 10 years, be very aware that it's my Holy Spirit that will bring you to the places that you need to go. So I really believe that, you know, in this celebration, God is going to do something powerful in our midst. In fact, He did something so powerful yesterday night, it blew my mind away, right here in the sanctuary. So I want to believe that God will do even more this morning. Amen? Turn to your neighbor. God is going to do something. Amen? Come in anticipation. And that is why our sermon is Anticipate the Holy Spirit. Now, many of us here come from all kinds of background, by the way. All right. In case you're not aware, one-third of the growth of DUMC, one-third comes from conversion. In other words, these are first-time believers. That means you came to DUMC, and then you became a Christian here. You have no other church. So one-third of you are actually people who are new to the church, and no other church background. The other two-thirds are people like yourself. Many of you here, two-thirds of you, come from other churches. So you come with all kinds of inclination, especially in the whole area of the Holy Spirit, because you have gone through churches with different emphases, and I believe many of the churches that you come from may not even have an emphasis on the Holy Spirit. And when I talk about the Holy Spirit, it's like something very weird, you know. This Holy Spirit, I'm not sure, is He the force? You're not sure, okay? So I think it's very important for us to start it right, because Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are very comfortable with the first two, Father and Son. We are comfortable. When we come to the Holy Spirit, we are not sure how to handle the Holy Spirit. So I pray by this morning, by the end of this message here, you will be clear what it means. And so as I was preparing this sermon series last year, you know, for the whole year, I say, Lord, you know, so what do I need to do for this year? And one of the things the Lord said to me was, bring back the preaching of the book of Acts. Because in August, September last year, we just preached about the book of Acts, if you remember. And so I said, Lord, I struggled with God. I said, God, but we just did it last year. He said, no, put it back. I said, but why, Lord? Why? You know what the Lord said to me? He said, they haven't got it yet. Turn to your neighbor, you haven't got it. Right? You haven't got it yet. So the Holy Spirit told me, bring it back. Preach it again. Because if we don't get this right, we're in trouble. And so that is why it's very important for you to just hear, not what I have to say, what the Holy Spirit have to say. So in Acts chapter 1, the beginning of the story of the early church, there were a group of people who were quite discouraged actually by what's been happening. Although they were encouraged to see Jesus again. Jesus appeared for 40 days. And then He said, wait, don't go out there and do stuff yet, all right? So while He was with the disciples, He gave them a mandate. And that is what we call the Great Commission. And with the Great Commission is a whole area of the Holy Spirit. I'll point out to you. Now, I love this graphics here, where it says learn, unlearn, and relearn. There's so many of us here need to learn about the Holy Spirit. But do you know what? Many of us here, especially the two-thirds of you, you need to unlearn. Unlearn certain things that you have picked up from before, and then relearn. relearn what it means to have the Holy Spirit upon your life and upon the life of this church. And the Great Commission is this, and everyone is so familiar with this. Let's read it aloud together, because this is a commission of the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's read it aloud. 1, 2, go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Now, I want you to read the last line again, all right? And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Now, this is an interesting phrase here. You see, when Jesus ascended to heaven, he's gone to heaven. Now, where is Jesus right now? Those of you who know your Bible, where is Jesus right now? Now, many of you will say, in my heart. It's not wrong. It's correct. Jesus is in my heart. But theologically, where is Jesus? He's in heaven. Where? Seated at the right hand of God. What is he doing? The Bible says, he is interceding for you. Now, this is an amazing thought. Right now, where you are seated right now, he's looking at you and he's praying for you. He said, Lord, I pray for so-and-so. He looked very sleepy. Lord, will you wake him? You know, Holy Spirit, wake him up. Okay. Another person, he looks confused. Holy Spirit, bring revelation to him. Do you know Jesus, because he's God, he's praying right now for every one of us here. So don't ever think that you're here alone, you know? All right, just between you and, you know, you yourself and I. Jesus is praying for you that the Holy Spirit will be doing something in your life. So Jesus said, he told the disciples, I need to go to the Father. Why? Because then I can send the Holy Spirit to you. Because the Holy Spirit can be with you 24/7. Because his Spirit, he can be with everyone right now as Jesus prayed for us. So that's why he said, I am with you always. How is that always done? It is done through the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of Christ. So it's not wrong to say, where is Jesus? In my heart. Correct. But it's the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit in your heart. But where is Jesus, the person? At the right hand of God, interceding. Now, this is good theology, by the way. I'm teaching you good theology here so that you understand what the Bible has to say. And so in verse 4, here in chapter 1, on one occasion while he was eating with them. Now, interesting, this word eating. Eating means that he's human. So, Jesus, although in the resurrected body, he maintained his humanity. He still eats. And that is why some of you say, one day on a new earth, do we eat or not? Especially Chinese love to ask that question. Do we actually eat? Some of you may even say, got siu yong or not? Right? I don't know. But all I know is that we do, I think we still eat. We're going to enjoy eating and don't grow fat. That's the best part, all right? So, he was eating, and then he said this to them. Do not leave Jerusalem. Hang on in there. Don't leave, all right? But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, they were with Jesus for 40 days. Jesus appeared for 40 days among the different disciples. And then he said, wait, 10 more days. Now, interestingly, 10 more days at 40 is 50. And that is why the word Pentecost. Pentecost actually means 50. That's a Greek word for 50, 50. All right, it's not an incredible big word, you know. It means 50. All right, penta, pentagram, five-sided. So 50. On the 50th day, the Holy Spirit came. Not any later, not any earlier. It's the timing of the Spirit. On the 50th day, he came down and changed the course of Christianity. And so it's very important for us to take heed of this verse here, that one, that the Holy Spirit will come down upon the church of Jesus Christ. Now, let's move on to verse 6 now. He said, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. In other words, the people, the disciples didn't get it. They thought that Jesus was resurrected and he's going to be the human king that would deliver the people, the Israelites or the Jewish people, from the Roman occupation. And Jesus didn't want to do that. He said, no, there's something even greater that you're going to do, not just delivering you from the oppression of the Romans. And this is what he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So when the Holy Spirit comes, what do you receive? Power. Wow. How many of you need power in your life? Put up your hand. Actually, if you don't put up your hand, I'm not sure why, you know. I certainly need power in my lives. Power to have victorious Christian living. Power to overcome sins in my life. Power to break stronghold in the lives of people. Don't you want that power? I want. I'm very casual as well. I want. That's what he said. The Holy Spirit comes now, and you will receive power. But yet, as a pastor, I have ministered to so many Christians. I realize that they are powerless, many of them. They're so powerless over their lives, powerless over their family, powerless as a husband, powerless as a wife, powerless as a parent, powerless when you go out there and you know, work in your workplace. You are powerless. The devil seems to have the heads up over you. Why? Because we have not understood what it means to receive the Holy Spirit in power. And this is something the Lord is telling me over and over again as I plan, you know, to enter this new season of DUMC. He said, DUMC, while we thank God for all that God has done in our midst, but yet one thing we recognize is the lack of that power. And I will explain to you what I mean by that. And I believe God is going to release that power upon our lives. Why? Why do you want to have that power? Show off, is it? Wow, I got this power. In Jesus' name, people start falling down everywhere. Is that the reason for that? No. Very clearly there, the reason is that you will be my witnesses. Do you know the word witnesses in its original Greek actually means a martyr? Someone who died for Jesus? So you want to be witness? How many of you want to be witnesses for Christ? You die. Right? That's what it means. Right? So it is not easy for us to die for the Lord. Why? Because humanly, it's impossible, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be witnesses. And I think that's a very profound statement of God over the church, even right now, at this season. And then, of course, the next line says that in verse 11, men of Galilee, they say, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus was taken from you into heaven will come back again in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And so Jesus will go, send the Holy Spirit. But one day, he's going to come back. He's going to come back, and what a glorious day that will be. And the Lord is telling me that we need to preach on Revelation one of these days. We're going to go through Revelation and begin to see what God has in store for us. And so what's the big idea? This is the big idea now. It is God's plan all along. Right, to empower us with the Holy Spirit. It is God's plan all along. This was what Israel was supposed to be anticipating. Now, through the many feasts of the Bible, which I'm going to talk about next weekend, it's an amazing image. When you do Bible study in the Old Testament, it blew your mind. Because a lot of mystery hidden in the Old Testament that is revealed in the New Testament. When you begin to study the Old Testament, the seven feasts of the Old Testament, it is a prophetic word for the future in the New Testament. And I'm going to share with you next weekend. Come back next weekend. It is a very profound and powerful truth of God, hidden as mystery in the Old Testament. And so Israel was supposed to anticipate on Pentecost. And that was already prophesied in the Old Testament. And this is what the church is to experience. And I believe that the church will need to experience the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is my prayer for DUMC. This is my prayer for every person seated here, that you are not half full, you are not quarter full, you are fully immersed in the Holy Spirit. And that, I believe, that this is my prayer for every one of you here this morning. And what is the intended outcome? Intended outcome, by the time you leave this place here, I pray that you will desire to welcome the Spirit of God. This is the part you have to unlearn and relearn. To anticipate that it's not weird to have the Holy Spirit around you, you know. Because you see so many weird things, you see. And you say, I cannot reconcile that, right? So, but I want you to desire and welcome the Holy Spirit and appreciate the significance of outpouring of baptism in the Holy Spirit, okay? And so I believe that there's a word of God for you here this morning, and I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit very clearly. Now, here in the Bible, it says, I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. What does baptize mean? Baptize means to immerse fully, all right? To pour out fully. That's what baptize, all right? Now, in the Bible, there are few mentions of the word baptize or baptism. In fact, there's something like 6 or 7 different references about baptism. For example, there's such thing called the baptism of suffering. Are you aware of that? Right? Suffering is a baptism too. There is also a baptism of John the Baptist, right? But I want to focus on 3 baptisms relevant for us as a church, in a New Testament church, 3 kind of baptism. The first baptism is called the salvation baptism. Remember, baptism means to immerse, to fully come upon. And so, when you are saved, that means the moment you say, Jesus, I believe in you, or I accept what you have done on the cross, the Holy Spirit, this is the work of the Holy Spirit, He baptizes you. Okay, now let me show you a verse here. Verse 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it says, we were all baptized. I mean, all of us here, no one is excluded. Everyone here who believe in Jesus. You are baptized by who? By the Holy Spirit. So the moment you become a Christian, you are baptized, all right, by the Holy Spirit into the body of Jesus. Meaning that, who are the body of Jesus? All of us here. We're the body of Jesus. Christ is the head, we are the body, and basically what Apostle Paul is saying, that when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. That means we become one. That is why part of our, you know, communions we did just now, one of the things that I said, and it's so clear in the Word of God, it says we must make peace with one another because we are one body. If one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. When one part of the body rejoices, the whole body rejoices. Why? Because the Holy Spirit baptizes now into the body. That's why you are part of me and I'm part of you. Amen? And that is the wonderful truth of the gospel of Jesus. So then, when you become a Christian, there are neither Jews or Gentiles. Right? There are no slave, there are no slave or free. And then we have all given one spirit to drink. So we are all one in Christ. In other words, when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwells in the body of Christ. You understand this part? That means everyone here, if you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says it is called a seal, all right? Seal means a chop. It's a chop upon your life. Where it says there, and you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. That means you believe. And the gospel of salvation. Having believed, you were what? Marked in Him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit. So let me get it very clear here. Everyone who believes in Jesus, you have a chop. What is that chop? The Holy Spirit. That means you have the Holy Spirit in you. And I call this the indwelling of the Spirit of God in your life. Everyone clear about this? Because once we're clear about this, then when I talk about baptism in the Spirit, it makes sense. All right? And so, for example, let me turn to you to another passage, John chapter 20, verse 21 to 22. And here it says, Jesus said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, this is a time when Jesus was with the disciples. He has not ascended into heaven yet. He has not, in that sense, sent the Holy Spirit yet. Not yet. Okay? He said, and with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a very interesting phrase here. But He has not sent the Holy Spirit. What is this, receive the Holy Spirit then? Now, this receiving the Holy Spirit is a receiving of it as what I call salvation baptism. The first baptism. That means the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because up to that point, Jesus has not resurrected. Because when they believed, Jesus has not resurrected. They have not gotten the full measure of what it means to be saved. Although they are saved, but not the full measure. All right? And so Romans 10, verse 9, actually says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, the disciples were only living in the first half before Jesus died. They believed. But it's only at the second half that when Jesus was raised from the dead, he resurrected, then you will be saved. So in other words, at that point in time when they say receive the Holy Spirit, they are what I call fully saved. That's called the first baptism, when the Spirit of Christ, all right, begin to dwell in them. And so in other words, the first baptism, what is the result of it? You are what we call born again. You are saved. Right? And you are regenerated. That's a big theological word, meaning that your spirit has been, in some sense, you know, dead to God, is now alive in Christ. And you were dead in the past to your sins in your life, but after you have the first baptism, that means believing in Christ, all right, you are cleansed from all your sins. You understand this part here? All right? But is that all to it? No, it is incomplete. That's the first baptism. There are three altogether, all right? Now, the second baptism is what I call water baptism. In the salvation baptism, the Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus. In the water baptism, the disciples baptizes us or baptize us in water. That means we baptize people, all right? The leaders of the church baptize people in water because that was the command of Matthew 28, where it says, make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So what does this water baptism mean? It actually means burial. It actually means that when you go into the water, you die. Now, I was baptized when I was 17 years old. That was a long time ago. Right? And at 17, when I was baptized, I remember going up to my dad, the dad that you saw last weekend, right? I went up to him and I say, I want to be baptized, okay? I've been going to church. He knows I was going to church and said, I want to be baptized. Then he looked at me and said, no, you can't be baptized now. You get baptized when you're 21 years old. I call it delay tactic. You want to delay so that, you know, maybe my son will wake up and want. Because in their mind, for the non-Christian, I don't know where they got it from, you know? I don't know where they got it from. They say, they know that, for the non-Christian, that the moment you get baptized, it's like, that's it. All right, in Chinese, they say, chujia, you know? And you go out, you cannot come back already. Somehow in their mind, they recognize that. So my father said, no, you cannot. You cannot get baptized. Wait until you're 21. But guess what? At 17 years old, I was so convinced in my heart that I want to obey God because this is a matter of obedience. I went ahead and get baptized on Christmas Day 1977. With fear and trembling, I went ahead anyway. Because my father said, if you get baptized, I'll throw you out of the house. This same father who came for my weekend last week, you know. And so I remember in that small church of ours, where it's really a very small church, only two or three baptisms in 1 year. And we had the time, the luxury, you know, of even singing, you know, a hymn even before each person get baptized. And I still remember that song so clearly in my mind, that song that was sung before I got baptized. And the song was, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And then, dish. Now, do you know that song was so significant? Now, that was the inner reality of mine already. I am already a Christian, first baptism. I was a Christian. I don't need the baptism to save me, you know, the water baptism to save me. But I needed to show to the world of the inner reality in my life, outwardly. That's what Holy Communion does. An inward reality that is shown out by an outward expression. That outward expression was baptism. The old person died. Many of you do not know that before I was Chris, I was Richard. Why Richard? Because when I was young, 17 and under, I fell in love with Cliff Richard. All right, I used to play the guitar, and I would sing all the Cliff Richard song, and so I decided I want to be Richard. So I was Richard Come. All right? And then when I was saved, somehow I said, I need to change my name because I'm a new man. So I picked the name Christopher. And Christopher actually stands for follower of Christ. And so when I went into the water, Richard died. And when I came out, Chris came alive. Now that's what baptism means. And please do not call me Richard after this. Because Richard is dead, long gone, no more. And I recognize that when I came out of the water, I no longer own myself. God owns me from then on. I have given all rights, my self-rights, given it up. I've given my rights to God. When He tells me, go there, I say, yes, sir. I don't argue with God. Sometimes He allows me to argue a little bit with Him. But at the end of the day, I will say, yes, sir, to God. Because He says so. Because I've given up all rights over my life. God totally owned me, and that's what baptism or water is all about. It's a demonstration of an inner reality in our lives. So many of you, can I lovingly, as a pastor, say to you this, lovingly right now, not in any condemning way, not in any judgmental way. If you've been a Christian for a long time and you have not been water baptized, can I lovingly say to you that you are living in disobedience? Because the Bible is so clear that baptism in water is a command. But I pray that you will not rush out after this and say, how can I get baptized? To fulfill a legalistic requirement. I hope you not do that. You would do it because it's an expression of an inward reality to say that I'm serious about my life as a Christian. And by the way, Jesus was Himself baptized. Does He need baptism? He doesn't need, because the significance of baptism is that you are washed with water and you are cleansed from all your sins. So Jesus is a perfect man. He's without sin. There is no reason why He needs to be baptized. But He told John the Baptist, you baptize me to fulfill all righteousness, because Jesus was setting an example for us. And the moment He was baptized, He went in, He comes out. All right? The Holy Spirit came upon Him. In fact, the writer of the Gospel says, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus like a dove. In other words, it was something that it was visible, in a sense, to someone who saw that dove. And it was felt, right? And I remember this story about this old preacher in a small church. He wanted to have this, to show people the dramatic effect of the dove coming down, see? So he told this little boy, give him a dove, you know? Because he was going to preach on Pentecost Sunday. He said, now take this dove up to the attic, right up to the church, okay? And at the point when I say, you hear me say, because at that time he was using King James Bible, and King James Bible used to phrase Holy Ghost, not Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And so when you hear me say, Holy Ghost came down like a dove, right? Then you throw down the dove, okay? So he wanted to have this dramatic effect. Maybe I should do that too, right? Okay? All the doves all start flying. So the little boy went up there, you know, before the service started, and so he started to say, at one point of his sermon, he said, the Holy Ghost came down like a dove. Nothing came down. Then he tried again. The Holy Ghost came down like a dove. Nothing came down. So the third time, he spoke even louder. The Holy Ghost came down like a dove. Nothing came out except this little voice that came from the attic. The cat ate the dove. Do you want me to throw down the cat? And I pray we do not need that kind of drama to show that the Holy Spirit came down. All right. And I believe that later on I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come down. And whether doves come down, I'm not sure. But I believe there will be a visible sign of the Holy Spirit doing that. So let me say this to you. If Jesus needs the Holy Spirit to begin His three-year ministry, if Jesus Himself needed that, how much more do you think you need that? I need that. I told the Lord, without the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to last that 10 years. I need you, Lord. I need you badly. I need you desperately. And I pray that will be all our hearts here, that we need Him and we need Him desperately. Let me come to that part. Not only is salvation baptism, the Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus, And in water baptism, the disciples baptize us in water. And the third one is this, that in spirit baptism, Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. In other words, who baptized you in the Holy Spirit? Jesus. So you ask Jesus to baptize you. Now, Matthew 3:11 says this, I baptize you with water. This is John the Baptist saying, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, who is Jesus, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Who baptizes? Jesus. Jesus is the one who baptizes you in this third baptism. Now, some people may argue this. They say, Pastor, that thing belong to the early church. I don't think we need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us that second experience. The first experience is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you when you become a Christian. I don't think we need that second experience anymore, the third baptism. We don't need it anymore. Now, let me prove to you, that's not true. Let me prove you from Scripture in the book of Acts. Then after that, I'm going to conclude and pray for us. Now, this is what it says. This is in Acts chapter 8. Now, this is Acts chapter 2 was Pentecost. This is Acts chapter 8. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria, who are these Samaritans here? Samaritans are the half-Jews. These are the people the Jews don't really like because they are half-Jew. But they accepted the word of God. In other words, they experienced the first baptism, the salvation baptism. They believed. They have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in them. When they arrived, the apostles, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on them, on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Notice this. They had salvation baptism. They had here water baptism. What's the third thing that happened? Verse 17. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. All right, and that is the third baptism. Jesus baptizes them, all right, in the Holy Spirit. Is that clear? Now, this is 5 years after Pentecost. Not the first year of Pentecost. 5 years later, this is still happening. Let me move on. The second passage. When Peter was speaking, this is about Cornelius. He is probably the first Gentile Christian mentioned in the Bible. Cornelius is a God-fearing centurion. And Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. So they heard the message, they believe, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Right? So obviously it's something visible. Visible. It can be seen that something's happening to them. Right? And the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out even on the Gentiles. In other words, when the Spirit came on them, it was clear. They can see it, right? So what did they see? They saw them speaking in tongues and praising God. Clear? Right? Then this is 10 years after Pentecost. Not the first year. 10 years later, it is still happening. One last passage. And this has to do with some disciples who were the followers of John the Baptist. Okay? And so Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. In other words, John the Baptist was pointing people to Jesus. All right? On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, interestingly, all right, John's disciple have not fully believed in Jesus because no one had really told them that yet until Paul came along and said, believe in Jesus, first baptism, right? Second baptism was that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand? So they were baptized in water. Then watch the next one, right? When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and what? Prophesy. Something visible. There were about 12 men in all. And this happens 25 years after Pentecost, not the first year. Now, if the book of Acts shows us a pattern, it's this pattern here, that there are three baptisms that will continue throughout the life of the church. First baptism is salvation baptism, second baptism is water baptism, and the third baptism is the Spirit baptism. And that is why Resurrection Sunday and Pentecost Sunday are two different events. Resurrection Sunday is Jesus came alive, first baptism into our lives, make us come alive. in spirit. And the resurrections and the Pentecost Sunday was when Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and we come with alive with power to live the Christian life. You understand this part? Okay, let me end with this simple illustration here. Now, I want you to understand that the three baptism is salvation baptism, water baptism, and spirit baptism. Now, I want to use tabernacle. The tabernacle is a prophetic statement of what's going to happen in the future. Right, next week, I'm going to talk about the seven feasts. It's an amazing seven feasts. There's a prophetic word for the future. Now, in this tabernacle here, those of you who know your Bible well enough, you will recognize that the tabernacle is where God is present. God comes, and although he doesn't need the tent to live in, but he comes to demonstrate his presence among God's people. And here in the temple, in the tabernacle, is the place called the Holy Place and the Holy of Holies. And dividing the Holy Place and the Holy of Holies, where the Ark is in the Holy of Holies, once a year, the high priest will go into the Holy of Holies. The priest can minister around the holy place, but only one person gets into the holy place once a year, into the presence of God. And to get into that place, you have to fulfill requirements. And there are three requirements that you need to fulfill in order for the high priest to get into the Holy of Holies, or for anyone for that matter. All right? The first is that you must, first of all, sacrifice an animal. You sacrifice a lamb, and it is, you know, the blood of the lamb, we call it, where it signifies that your sins must be paid for, and that is paid for by the lamb, the poor lamb who took your sin upon itself. And you must have this sacrificial sacrifice that is put on the altar, and then you must, there's a basin, right, a big basin, a laver, we call it, where you will wash yourself in the water. What does it signify? That all your sins are washed away. Having sacrificed, all right, where the blood paid for your sins, you now wash away all your sins. Is that clear? And then one more thing that you need before you can go into the Holy of Holies is oil. That means oil will be anointed on the high priest before he goes in. Now, what in the Bible, what does oil signify? The Holy Spirit. It always points to the Holy Spirit. Now, you need all these three here to get into the Holy of Holies. And do you know that's a prophetic statement of the New Testament? What do I mean? Because the altar has to do with salvation. It's a salvation baptism. And the water has to do with water baptism. Now, it doesn't take a brilliant mind to figure this out, that the third one, okay, the spirit baptism has to do with the flask. Now, what happened? You know, if you miss out on any one of them, if that means you miss out on one, and you walk into the Holy of Holies, what happened? You die. That's why some high priests who didn't take this seriously in the past, some of them go in there and drop dead, you know. So they cannot retrieve the body until the next year. So what do? They become smarter this time. Before the high priest walks in, they tie a rope around him. And then they put bells, all right, on the ankle. And when they hear the high priest walking in there, you can hear the cling, cling, cling. Ah, he's safe, but he's still alive. What if the bell stopped ringing? Thank God there's a rope, so they pull him out. Now, God takes this seriously. You don't play around with God in this area, okay? And so if you were, all right, to miss out on any one of these, you die. Now, let me try to apply this for you right now. What does it mean? Now, be very clear here. I want to make it so that everyone is clear here, right? What saves you? The three baptisms, which one saves you? The first one, right? Are you clear? You don't need water baptism and spirit baptism to save you. You are already saved at the altar. You are already saved, okay? But, you know, if you do not live a life demonstrated by water baptism, meaning that the old has passed away, you still live your life in such a way that you do what you want. You still sin against God. All right, without thinking, you know, and you continue to live a life that is not honoring to God. And you continue, you know, to not having the Holy Spirit come upon you. Now, what kind of Christian life is that? Are you saved? Yes. But you know what? I've seen so many Christians who are defeated. Christians who are what I call dead. They are alive, they are going to heaven, yes, but they are dead in the way they live the Christian life. Do you know why? Because they bypass the third baptism, or sometimes even the second baptism. That is why their life is so defeated. And I want to let you know that even right now, as I am speaking about this, God is speaking to many of you here. You actually understood this truth, maybe for the first time. No wonder I'm struggling big time, you know. Am I saved? Yes, hallelujah, I'm saved. My name is written in the book of life. But yet, why is it I'm so powerless? Because you have not gotten the third baptism. Because maybe of the church background you come from, I don't know what church background, I used to come from a church background that tells me, avoid this charismatic, you know. This charismaniac, you used to call them, right? But there was something in them that I wanted. I saw their life, I said, I want that power in them. Was I a good Christian then? Oh, I was a good Christian, I loved the Bible. In fact, I teach, and I even preach sometimes. I was a good Christian. But you know what? I realized that I was powerless. I can preach a good sermon, but yet there's no power in the things that I do. When I pray for people, nothing happens, right? Sometimes only. I don't feel the power. And so I wanted for many years, it was only 15 years down the road, I remember going for this meeting. I was so hungry. I was looking for any meeting about the Holy Spirit. So I went to this Assembly of God church in SS2, small church. I went up there, and I started learning about the Holy Spirit, 7 sessions. I went for 7 weeks. That's how hungry I was. And at the end of one of the sessions, he said, anyone here who is not baptized in the Spirit, because by that time I understood baptism in the Spirit. Is anyone here not baptized in the Spirit? You put up your hand. Whoa, I look around. These are all charismatics, you know. No one put up their hand. I say, good night. Lord, should I put up my hand? I'm a leader from DUMC, you know. The Lord said, humble yourself. And my hand went up. He said, you, come up later. Right? And next week, I'm going to tell you about this experience of mine. So I'll keep you in suspense here right now, okay? But I tell you what. After being so-called prayed for, laid hands on, I received the power of the Holy Spirit, my life changed 180 degrees. Was I a good Christian then? I think so. Do I love the Word of God? I think so. In fact, I studied theology. I did all that I need to do as a good Christian. But one thing I lack, power. And that was many years ago. I am so glad that I was baptized in the Spirit, and 1 year later, I entered full-time the DUMC. And that changed my life entirely. You know what, church? I do not want you to miss out on that experience. I do not want anyone here lacking that power to live their lives. And what is that power for? That power is to help you to be a witness for Christ. You know, over the last many years now, you know, the desire of our hearts, you know, of our founding senior pastor as well. He said, can each one lead one? And I would love that each one of us would lead one to Christ. But for a long time, we're wondering, Lord, this is not happening. Right? And if you lead everyone, lead one to Christ, you know, the church double every year. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not running after numbers. Every number is alive who need Jesus. And the reason why we want to see this church filled is because there are so many out there who do not know Jesus. And every number matters to God. But we only need one person reaching out to another one. The church will double. Is the church even doubling every year? Is it even going 50%? Is it even 10% every year? That tells me something. That we lack the power to share Christ out there and lead people to Christ. Because it's the work of the Holy Spirit. So let me push a reset button right now. By all means, use the fantastic phrase, out of 7 billion people. Please use that. It's a fantastic phrase. I will also use that phrase. But do you know, if you use that phrase without the power of the Holy Spirit, it's only you trying to convince him mind to mind. The only way you can, in that sense, bring a person to Christ is that when the Holy Spirit begin to work powerfully in his heart. And I want to press the reset button right now to say that even before I challenge you, which will come a day, I will challenge you, one reaching one. Again, I'm going to do that again. But I pray that when I say the next time, one reaching one, all of you go out that door. There's a big sign there that says, in case you're not aware, a big sign as you go out that says, entering the mission field. It's right there. Go out as you see that. When you walk out with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I do not want any one of you here to miss out on that. I don't care what theological persuasion that you have. But in DUMC, we believe that there's two experiences. First is salvation. Two is the baptism of the Holy Spirit by receiving. Now, how do you receive? Can I have the musicians up here now? How do you receive? You receive, all right, simply by, number one, remove all barriers. In other words, whatever that you have in your mind, the barrier that you have, you heard somebody say, you're so uncomfortable with this whole thing. Can I ask you right now to remove that? Ask the Holy Spirit, say sorry to the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, I'm so sorry that I am the problem. I am, you know, preventing you from even coming fully on me. Right? So remove all barriers. Just come, all right, as you are. Number two is request from Jesus. Why? Because it's Jesus who will baptize you, not anybody else. Right? It's Jesus who will. So you ask Jesus. Jesus, you baptize him because you said so. All right, take him on his promise. He said, I will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. Now, if you were to ask Jesus, some of you may say, Pastor, if I were to pray to ask, but what if demons come in? How? I heard it so many times. So people say, hey, I say, look, this verse reminds me, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? If he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Look, you are asking Jesus right now. Is he going to give you a scorpion? He's not. So can you have some confidence in the Lord Jesus? You say you believe in Christ, right? So you come and say, Jesus, give me the Holy Spirit. Simple as that. Just ask him. I'm not going to give you a complicated prayer. I'm going to ask you to say a simple prayer. Jesus, please baptize me. That's all. Do you think you can do that? But do it with sincerity of heart, sir. All right? And the third thing you must do is this, sir. That you must receive the Holy Spirit by faith. By faith. Don't come up here thinking, Pastor, when I pray, receive Holy Spirit, do I have to do this? No. You don't have to. Understand or not? It is a simple request to your Father. Do you do that to your Father when you ask for things? Father, Dad, please give me that. No, you don't do that, right? You just say, Father, please give me this. And your Father will love you so much, he'll give it to you. See? Right? Without any fanfare. Without any duff lying down. Then the next question is, Pastor, so how? Do I have to speak in tongues and all that? Then why? I don't know. Let the Holy Spirit deal with you. I don't know. But we can ask. But next week, I'm going to talk about speaking in tongues. But I want to believe that God, when he baptized you, he baptized you with power. He baptized you to start a new life, a new chapter in your life that will begin to transform you 180 degrees. Amen. How many of you need power again? All right. Now, this is what I want you to do. If you have never been baptized in the Spirit, that means the third baptism. If you understood what I'm saying here, in just a short moment, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. But you be prepared right now. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. If you have never been baptized in the Spirit, but you say, maybe I have not. The maybe one, stand up too. Okay? Because you're not sure. You will also stand up. Okay? And some of you, you know, as I ask you to do this, you know, there's so much turmoil in your heart, real or not, okay? Do you know there's a devil speaking to you right now, right? Or your flesh speaking to you. By faith, you begin to just do that. Can you do that? So those of you, I'm going to make a challenge to you right now. Right? If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you stand up with me right now. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. You stand up with me right now. If you need the baptism of the Spirit, you're not sure or that, you need it. You need it, okay? If you need it right now, you stand with me right now. Up in the gallery, you stand with me too as well. Those of you who say, I need the Holy Spirit badly, Lord. Okay? Those of you who are seated, I presume you already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's great. Now you help me. Those who are seated, you help me, okay, later. Right? Okay, are you ready? Now this is what I want you to do. I believe that and when you take faith right now, one of the ways that you take faith is to step forward to the front. All right? Now, I was so foolish when I said, who has not? I was felt so foolish doing that. But I tell you what, God honors us when we make a fool of ourselves. All right? Because we want the things of God. So some of you may never have come up before. But I want you to take that step of it. There's something about moving forward. So I want all of you, including those in the gallery, I want to wait for you, okay? Come down at the side. Come right to the front. I'm going to pray for you. I believe God will manifest himself powerfully. Can you do that right now? Can you quickly come to the front? We'll wait for those in the gallery as well. Come down at the side. We wait for you. Thank you, Lord. Sing.
Breath of God, come breathe within.
Yes, God, come, Lord Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Holy Spirit, move, Lord, powerfully. Thank you, Lord.
Spirit of God, we wait for you.
Yes, Lord, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's feel them, Lord. Feel them, Lord. Yes, God. Feel them, Lord, I pray. Feel them, Lord. Feel them, Lord. Yes, God.
Feel them, Lord. We pray. Consume me.
For those coming from the gallery, but those of you who are already standing here, can I ask you right now to just focus on Jesus? Close your eyes, all right? Just focus on the Lord. Have a desire in your heart right now to say, I want to receive. Talk to Him. Talk to the Holy Spirit. All right, just talk to Him and just lift up your hand this way, because this is a good posture of receiving. Just receiving from the Lord right now, and then after that, I'm going to pray. We'll wait for those from the gallery to come down, all right? But let's just wait upon the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
Come like a rock, shake away, close this wind power.
Us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, because that is your promise, God. And so, Lord, hear your children standing before you here, God, desiring, Lord, to receive something from you, which you say, God, you'll be more than glad to give to us. And so, as we stand before God right now, as our hands are stretched out to Him, I want you to make this simple prayer in your heart. And all you need to say is this simple prayer. Jesus, I ask you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Holy Spirit, will you come right now, Lord? Jesus, as you baptize each person in your Holy Spirit, fill them right now, God. Fill them right now, Lord. Fill them from the top of their head to the tip of their toe right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And pastors, could you just help me go and just lay hands on the different people just quickly, you know, just lay hands on every person right now. Just receive. Receive from the Lord right now. Just focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Don't look around. Just focus on Jesus. Close your eyes if you need to. And all of you who are standing behind, you pray. You pray for the people here. You pray for them. Thank you, Lord. Come upon them right now, Lord. Come, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill them, Lord, with power. Fill them, Lord, with a compassion for you, God. Fill them with love. Fill them with power that come from high, God. Fill them right now, Lord. Fill them with prayer, God. Yes, Lord. Fill them, I pray, Lord. Fill them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.